What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll most certainly talk about some real estate stuff, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some stuff and struggle at times. This is the show to let you guys know that you're not alone. So if there's anybody out there that, you know, resonates with anything that we're talking about, this is the show for you. What's up, dude?
Not too much, man.
Oh, I forgot. Book club.
Yes.
Reminder, we are doing the book club again this month. This month's book is Think and Grow Rich. So buy the book, read it. And we're going to do a podcast on the book at the end of the month. And it's also, the audiobook's also on YouTube and Spotify for free. So if you're not a big reader and you just prefer to listen to stuff, go out there and consume it that way. Just get it in your head.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Yep. I was bad. I didn't read this weekend, so I got to like double up this. And honestly, I'm probably behind. I think I am too. Yeah, I'm going to.
It should be about a little over halfway through, and I think I'm.
I'm like a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like.
That's all right. I'll get caught up.
Dude, it's a good book, though. So, like, it's. It kind of gets to points where I'm turning pages pretty quick. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, man. So how are you? I know it sounds like you've had a
rough day. That's all right. It happens. It's part of the business. And you know, the guy was real the one mutual release can't do anything about. Sellers weren't willing to budge on a new roof. I get it.
Yeah.
And then, the other one, fucking builders and their preferred lender bullshit.
Dude. It's just like a monopoly. You know,
it is.
They're just trying to,
so it's like, it's almost like,
The builders hate us. That's for sure.
Right. And that's the thing is like they go through these banks, which I'm assuming that they do their commercial deals, like when they purchase the land and the construction loans and all that through these banks. And so then I don't know, but like for these people to get $11,000 off their purchase price, they had to get pre-approved and their commitment letter had to come from their preferred lender. But then they could switch lenders whenever they wanted. Mm-hmm. So I had been working with them the whole time. Well, we just get the contract or get the 30-day notice, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you never notified us that you were going to use a different lender, so you can't switch lenders within 60 days of closing, and all this stuff, their lender locked them in, we were the same rate, cheaper fees, all of this stuff, and then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're going to give you 1/8% lower on an interest rate. I'm like, oh, fuck. Dude. That's all right. We'll refinance them. I might even just try to piss off the builder and have them get recaptured, because that's a thing. What do you mean recaptured? If I do a deal and someone refinances it or pays it off within 6 months.
Yeah, you got to pay it back.
I got to pay back all the commission.
Yep.
So.
I had that happen.
Fuck you, banks. Yeah.
Dude, I had that happen sort of recently. Yeah. It was with that investor that you sent me and then you ended up not working with
him. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. And he sold the house. Like, he wanted to sell it 2 months after he bought it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the one he just bought recently and then he wanted to turn around and sell it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aaron
had to pay back his commission. And yeah, Aaron was a little upset for sure. And rightfully so.
Right.
You know, and I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. But he wanted to sell it, so. What do you want me to do?
Did he make a profit on it?
No. He lost money on it.
Damn.
Huh. Okay. Well, dude, the house, like, if he would have held on to it, it probably would have been a solid rental property. But, I mean, Nick doesn't like doing any rehab to stuff. And when he does it very cheaply, at least from what I've kind of gained from him. It's just the thing is whenever he sells the houses, it's like I don't really see him. I don't see what the house is. I don't know. Right. I usually don't see what he does with them after that, because either he fixes them up and puts renters in there, and then why would I ever see it from then? And
was he the whole time planning on just fixing it up and selling it, or what?
Well, he was planning on renting it out, and his plan was to, you know, and I just think that once he got in there and then he actually got bids from contractors and stuff, I think it was just way more than what he was expecting.
Yeah.
And from then on, he was like, oh, and then there was a big issue with the municipality, and apparently the bathroom that was put in the basement was done without a permit, and they were going to make him remove that bathroom or like go through the whole permitting process, and he didn't want to have to pay for all that. And so that house was an absolute nightmare to buy.
Oh my God. I remember you talking about that.
Bro, that deal alone, I have it, that house alone, between selling it or him buying it and then selling that house. Yeah, I could think of it, like, dude. that house, yeah. It just, there was just so many different things that happened. That was
so did
just,
you just absolutely. Close that recently?
It was just before the new year.
Okay.
It was like one of my last closings of 23.
I remember you telling me about having to deal with the selling side of it and how it was a pain in the ass. I didn't realize that he had just bought that shit.
Yeah, he just bought it. Like he bought
Aaron,
it.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Have you ever met Aaron?
I have not.
He's a great dude. He really is. Him and I, he's a great, great guy. I think you guys would get along well. He's a big sports guy. Him and I have gone to a handful of games and stuff together. He's a real nice guy.
You looking to make a switch?
No, we should get him on for real. That'd be funny. Yeah. He'd be really uncomfortable with this for sure. You know, him and I always talk. He's like very. He's like, oh man, I could never do any of the social media stuff, and it's just because right. I show him my videos and stuff. He's like, oh, I could never do that. It's just not me. Because he's been in the business for a long time,
right?
And just old school.
Yeah.
But he's he's a beast on the phone. That's for sure. Yeah. So he's a good guy. We actually put a question box on our Instagrams and we got a handful of good questions. So we kind of thought we would do this episode as kind of like a Q&A.
Yeah.
So honestly, a couple of the questions were stuff that we were talking about bringing up anyway. One of which was this, the big, National Association of Realtors, settlement that happened this past week. It's going to kind of really, big change to our industry. So, we got an article here to kind of go through some of it and stuff. So, for those of you that don't know, there was a big lawsuit going on in regards to the commission and how real estate agents are paid. So traditionally, and how it's kind of always been done is the financial compensation for both the buyer and the seller's agent was coming from the selling side. So, whenever I go over and in my whole career, whenever I've gone over and met with sellers, I'm negotiating a commission, and it always is and always has been negotiable. So like the standard, is what you're kind of going for typically is 6%. That's usually what the standard has been. But hey, me and many of other realtors have taken, less than that. And I know there's a lot of agents that'll even charge more than that. So, but the 6% kind of across the board has kind of been that, standard. And that was divvied up usually, roughly in half between the listing agent. So the agent that's representing the sellers and then whoever was the buyer's agent that was representing the people who bought the home. So now what this lawsuit was about basically is a decoupling of that commission. So now sellers are going to pay the listing agent and buyers are now in theory going to be paying the buyer's agent. But, as Pat and I, I'm sure will get into, like, that's going to be a hard thing for a lot of people. Because when you're going to buy a house, like, it's expensive, like you got to pay down payment, closing costs. There's a lot of fees associated with it. And it's expensive to buy a house. And now to throw your agent's commission on top of that is just a whole nother big payment that they're going to have to make now. And, and I think there are going to be some ways to kind of get around it, but, ways that we can kind of figure this out and make things work, but it is going to be a huge change to this industry. And, I think it's really going to separate. I think there's going to be a big separation in the agents that do well now and the agents that were just doing okay before,
right. 'Cause
I think the agents that are doing well and have had a good successful business will continue to do well because they're good at what they do. But the ones that are not so good at their business, 'cause there's, just like any other industry out there, there's good doctors, there's good pilots, there's good police officers, there's good teachers, and then there's bad. There's bad as well, there's not everybody's great at their job, and it's the same thing in our industry. There's great loan officers, there's shitty loan officers, there's great agents, there's shitty agents, and I think the good agents are going to shine through this, and I think the bad ones that are out there just for a paycheck and kind of out there not really knowing what they're doing, I think those agents are going to struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's honestly, like, I think the process for both loan officers and real estate agents to be able to do what they do needs to be tougher. At the point, the barrier entry into this needs to be tougher.
I agree 100%.
And we probably wouldn't be having this problem to begin with. But yeah, it's, I mean, I read through a bunch of different articles about this, and you know, what the points that I have in my notes and down is, one, they talk about how agents steer clients towards listings that pay higher commissions. Well, first off, maybe a shitty agent might do that. I don't know. But or someone just chasing a paycheck, sure. Having been married to a realtor. Yeah, sorry, I fucked that one up, guys. Realtor, I'm just going to call you agents. Whatever. When I'm being married to an agent, seeing behind the scenes and that stuff, like never once did I ever see, oh, we're not going to go see this house because they're only paying 2% commission or they're only paying this. Like, not once. And I'm sure it's been the same for you.
Yeah,
I'm,
dude, I can't think of one time I something I barely even look at. I mean, obviously now I'm going to be paying a lot more attention.
Well, it's not, that's the thing is that's part of this whole thing is they're no longer, you can't advertise it.
So it's just going to be, well, and here's the thing is it just can't be advertised, but the seller can still pay out a buyer's agent commission. So
it's going to be part of, but it's going to be considered a buyer's closing cost. So interested party contributions. So like FHA, the seller can give up to a 6% seller credit towards closing costs. Conventional, if you're putting less than 10% down, you can get a 3% credit from the sellers. If you put down more than 10%, then it goes up to 6. And I think if you put 20, you can get 9. I'll have to go back and check if any of that's changed. But I know definitely if you put 10% or more down, you're going to get, you can get at least 6% on a conventional loan. VA is unlimited towards costs, but the problem with that is VA is going to have to address this because veterans aren't allowed to pay realtor costs. So that's going to have to change.
Yep.
USDA is similar to FHA. And so right now, really, you can go conventional or FHA or houses eligible USDA. You can negotiate still, like, hey, you know, we're going to offer this, but we want this much of a credit towards to pay for our agent's commission. But if you're going low down payment on a conventional loan, now you're not going to be able to get any extra closing costs covered. That's it. So that's one thing. I don't think good agents, I don't think ever looked at that. Who knows? You're not going to be able to see it anymore anyway. It's just going to require those listing agents that field more phone calls and texts like, hey, because I don't think it said anything about you contacting the listing side. Like, hey, what are you paying? Are you guys paying out a buyer's agent?
Right.
They just can't disclose it. They just can't put it on the MLS.
Well, this is something that I was talking with a guy at the gym last night because his wife's an agent. So, you know, he's very aware of what goes on and, you know, very aware of what this industry and stuff. And we was like, man, if I were you guys, I'd be thinking this is a great opportunity because you guys are good and you could be honestly making more.
Right.
He goes like, so, you know, hey, used to be 6%. My fee's 9. Yeah. You know, like that's, you know, I mean, who knows if the people actually take that, but like I guarantee there's going to be people out there that are going to be charging more or, you know, the standard was, you know, like I said, 6% usually splits somewhere down the middle, but like here in St. Louis, it's usually like 2.7 to like 2.2 is kind of where it floats for a buyer's agent percent. So, you know, like now you could, you know, when you're having that initial buyer consultation, when I'm talking with my clients and like letting them know like, hey, you're going to have to, if you're going to want to work with me, I will have to be paid. Mm-hmm. And my fee is 3% of the sale price, right. You know, like, so it could end up working out better for me in that way. You know, but you know, here's the thing is it's really going to hurt these first time home buyers and our veterans. Like that just hurts me because obviously I feel for the veterans and like I have utmost respect for people that have served this country. And then also like first time homebuyers, that's been a huge portion of my business over the last couple of years. I mean, now honestly, a lot of my first time homebuyers are now like selling those houses and moving on to the next one. But you know, I still do work with a lot of first-time home buyers. I got a call scheduled this afternoon with a guy, and I believe he's a first-time home buyer. And, you know, if he doesn't have that extra, you know, fee to pay me, then I'm sorry, I can't work for free. So, right. You know, it is, we're, you know, and that's something we're going to have to discuss. But, yeah, it's just going to be a big change, man.
Yeah.
Big stuff. Well,
that's the thing, too, is, like, maybe, I mean, it sucks. You can't use, I don't know if, again, how this is going to be labeled on the lender side. Like, could it be a paid outside of closing type thing? Like, hey, they're going to pay you beforehand in that case, and it's not really considered a closing cost. Just take out and go and see if you can get a loan.
That was the other thing that, or I was talking to another guy at the gym the other day, and he was like, well, he goes, man, if they could figure out a way to wrap the buyer's agent commission into their, I know right now it's illegal, but
well, no, it's not, no the way. Government, I mean, that's what's crazy too, is like, so the government is putting this into place, and the government is the ones that are running these, like, government sponsored entities, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and then they have HUD, the whole housing and urban development, who sets guidelines, or FHFA, which is part of, you know, HUD and all that, set the guidelines and all that stuff for home loans. And it's just like, all right, so they're not going to go and change, like, how much risk are they willing to take? And then on the other side, it's like, okay, so how much are you going to be willing to roll in? If that's the case, all right, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%, like, when's it going to stop?
Sure.
And so they're not, I mean, at that point too, you got somebody putting 3% down, but then you're going to roll in 3% commission. So it's 100% loan.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
I don't think, so it's one of those things that it's never going to get rolled into the loan. But I think something will have to change on the lending side, especially, like I said, for veterans, or, you know, don't include them as considered closing costs. And then in that case, cause it's not considered a closing cost, I mean, you can go get a personal loan, pay it, but then dipping
that's
into
be
their
DTI,
debt's income. You know, it's a whole fucked up thing. And I mean, we could sit here and spitball ideas on how to get around this.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't, yeah,
but it's not really going to help. It's just, I don't know. Maybe we might say something astronomical that just sparks somebody's mind and they figure it all out.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But that was one of the points, was agents aren't showing homes because of commission payout. Well, now they're definitely not.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely the one thing that you said agents were doing, and that it's definitely going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Because buyers don't have the funds always to do this.
Right.
So congratulations, lawsuit. You just made it what you said they were doing actually happen. They are actually going to start looking at homes and showing clients whether they pay commissions or not. So sellers, beware. You're probably not going to get as many offers on your homes if you don't pay, or if you're not willing to pay a buyer's agent, because most people do not have the funds for a down payment, closing costs, and buyer's agent's commission. So there's that point.
So get this. This is the other part that I was laughing about with my buddy. So the guy, that same guy, was like, oh, if you can figure out a way to wrap the fees into the loan somehow. But you just shot that down. The other thing he was saying, he was like, cause he's a attorney here in town. He does very, very well. And he was like, well, you know what the fucked up part is? Next, they're going to be coming from my industry because we take 40%.
Right.
You know, so it's like these attorneys that, you know, that negotiated this whole thing and won, you know, it's for $418 million.
So 40% of that.
They get 40% of that.
Yeah.
And we're getting all, because we were taking our 6% of home sales or whatever, you know.
Which... about being able to negotiate too, which
right.
These lawyers said, no, there's no negotiating. This is what we get paid.
Right.
So like,
yeah,
the fucking lawyers won on all this shit.
100%, dude.
So, but yeah, it's just funny. I mean, it's a stupid fucking lawsuit. So, cause it's changing. I mean, the real estate industry has been driving our economy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is completely changing that. And I'm worried about some of the effects that might come out of that and how that might affect the economy moving forward. But another thing that they were talking about was how this is going to drop purchase prices.
Oh, God.
That might be the dumbest thing that I've heard in this whole thing. All right. So, and this is going to play into the problem with trying to negotiate the sellers paying closing costs or paying the buyer's commission. So I saw a reel, very real life spoof on an actual conversation that this real estate agent had. And it was between him and a client. Well, the house was listed at $400,000. Like they're listing this house based on comparable homes. Okay. Then the commission's coming out after they figure out they're not, okay, well, you know, we could list it at this, but I think so I can get paid more money, I'm going to list it at this. That's fucking stupid. The house is going to sit. The market's it's not going to work.
Yeah. It's not how it goes.
No, it's not how it goes.
People are smarter than that.
Exactly. And so when you price a house, you go and you look at comparables. At any point when you're looking for those comparables, do you ever look or consider what you're charging for a commission? Or is just, exactly. Exactly.
I like don't even know what I'm getting paid. Like I right. until like a couple weeks before closing, I put it in my little spreadsheet. And yeah. Like, oh, that'll be a good one. You know, right. Like that's
right. Exactly. So you're not pricing the house based on what you're going to get paid or how much commission's getting paid out. You're not doing that.
Right.
You are pricing it based on the comparable homes in the area, which do not take into account real estate agents' commissions.
No.
All right. So now. And they're thinking that real estate agents inflated these values so they could get paid more. No, we have so little fucking inventory and so much demand. That is why our house prices have been inflated so much. So yeah, not real estate agents' commissions. And I'm not even an agent. Like I'm on the finance side. Like it just boggles me that this goes back to why this shit should be taught in school. This is important, people. Like this is things that we should be learning in high school, in college, because it's insane the little people know about this industry. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, they're still going to list the house for the same amount.
And they're going to expect the same amount.
And they're going to expect that. And they're going to expect bidding wars and all that stuff. But at the same time, like, they're not dropping the sales price because you're not using an agent. Mm-hmm. That's not how that works.
Nope.
So... again, their whole point of, oh, this is going to help reduce sales price. No, it's not.
Yep.
No, it's not. Because now you're having to offer above it to get the agents to get the agent's commission covered. And here's the thing. What happens if it doesn't fucking appraise?
Right. Yeah, then what? Then they have to, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to see if, you know, you're waiving the appraisal is going to be dumb. Yes. Like, you see a lot of people mm-hmm. waiving appraisals. Hell, I saw a video today about a guy talking about about appraisal waivers and waiving the appraisal and the risks about it and how you can fight it and how you can make this work. But now it's like, here's the thing. You're not going to want to do that because odds are it's not going to appraise. Hell, is there going to be some sort of verbiage added to the buyer's agency agreement now? Like, oh, if it doesn't appraise, we're going to have to go back and restructure this or like,
yeah. Think about that.
That's the thing. Like this whole thing, like it makes sense. Yes, there needs to be more, like in our industry, like we have to disclose every little fucking thing. You're going to get an email. A fee goes up or fee goes down. You're going to get a disclosure. It went up a buck. Okay, here's a new disclosure to show you right. that it went up a dollar. So we're not hiding anything from you.
Right.
Like, I get it. There needs to be more disclosures on the real estate side in terms of how things are paid out. But it doesn't mean you go and change the whole fucking system. Like it's going to be one. It's going to fuck up a lot of things. But yeah, again, going back to it, like people are still going to sell the house for what the comps are showing, not because of what agents' commissions are. So again, point number two that they're trying to prove is bullshit, myth busted. That's what it is. It's not about the commissions. So, and then. Every appraisal that's done, I don't know if people know this, but every appraisal that's done gets sent through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's database of appraisals. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac know exactly how much a house is worth or what they feel it should be worth. And then when that appraisal gets submitted to them, it's called an SSR report. And it gives it a score of 1 to 5. 1 being the most accurate, 5 being highly inaccurate. Anything that's got a 3, 3.5 or above typically requires a second review or what's called a CDA. And they have to go in and prove, and the appraiser has to state his purpose on why he feels that the home's valued, and then they have to go back in and then they determine, okay, we're willing to accept that high value even though it's giving us a high risk level on the grading scale. And so again, that's not one of the factors. Agent's commission built into the sales price is not one of the things.
It's not even on in the appraisal.
Right, sure. Right. When you look at the appraisal, the line items out, the cost per square foot, a cost above grade, the quality of the home, the year of the home, all of this stuff. Now, one line item on the appraisal says, oh, they're charging 6% commission. But guess what? There is a line item for credits. So, like, if you see it, and sometimes every appraiser's kind of different. I wish there was a more exact wording on how they do this, but sometimes they'll put the credit, like, hey, because there's a box for terms of the comp that sold. So it'll say, like, FHA, sold date, and then seller credit this much. And they'll actually knock that off the sales price or the value of the home. So again, that's all stuff that, like, there is that, but those seller credits were going towards closing costs where people were juicing it up to get their closing costs covered. Now they're going to juice it up for commission, and that's doing the exact opposite of what they're saying it's going to do.
Right.
So yeah, that point again, stupid.
Yeah. Well, this all goes into effect in July. So, you know, I guess my advice for people out there is, you know, be ready to, if you're looking to buy a house, be ready to have that conversation with your agent. Do your research to make sure that agent is worth what you're paying them. You know, because like I said,
not all of them are.
Yeah, we're not all created equally. You know, there's some that, you know, do a lot more business than others, and there's some that, yeah, there's just right. there's varying levels of agents. So, you know, make sure you're working with a good one. There's a lot of them out there. So,
well, and here's the thing. We went through all this back in, was it 08 or 13? I forget when it was that they changed mortgage commission. Mm. Yeah, we all got through it.
Yeah.
We'll get through it. Like, it's just going to be a pain in the ass.
It's just going to be an adjustment this next year for sure.
I think the biggest thing is the biggest conversation about this is the points that they're making on why they're doing this aren't valid points.
Right.
But
it's coming fucking uprooting entire industry. So great.
Yeah. one of the largest drivers of our economy at that. So.
Yeah. 100%. What made you guys want to start podcasting and share stories with people? This kind of, I'd always wanted to do a podcast. I'd always thought about it. I just never really was sure about, like, oh, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to say? Until we get on here, and I was like, well, okay, what do I know? What do I think I'm okay at, and what do I think I know some things about? Well, I'm pretty good at real estate, I guess. You know, I'm a dad, you know, so that was kind of the two avenues I thought we could go. Obviously, I'm real into jiu-jitsu, so that, I knew that would come up a lot. But those are kind of the main things I thought, okay, well, I actually know some stuff about this, so I could talk on that for a long time. And then I did Murph's podcast, and I just really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, I was thinking, well, him and I are getting together once a week anyway to film content. So it's like, well, why don't we just record it the whole time? And then we got a podcast to throw out, and then, and you can clip it apart and throw the reels up, and we'll make sure to talk about real estate and stuff. And so, you know, so I was just like, all right, well, I got to find someone who would want to do it, who I'd want to do it with, and like who I could talk to forever, and one of my good friends, and, you know, kind of my partner in real estate here, because Pat and I have done a ton of deals. So I reached out to Pat and was like, hey, man, this is kind of out of the blue, and like totally like understand if you have no interest in it, but would you have any interest in doing a podcast with me? And like within 2 minutes he responded, fuck yeah, absolutely. Or something like that. He's like, I've been thinking about doing that, you know. And it was like, all right, we're in, we got it. Dude, I thought about sending you that text for like 3 days.
Yeah.
I was like super like, I don't know, like, would you even want to do that? Like, I don't know.
Fuck
you,
yeah,
know, I just didn't know, you know, because I was like, I know there's going to be, you know, a lot of time and money and a lot of things. It's like this is obviously a big fucking commitment.
Yeah, it's
you
huge. Know,
like this is like it's a whole nother thing that you and I do. I mean, in addition to all the other shit we do. So, you know, I knew it was going to be like a big, big, you know, task to take on. So,
yeah.
You know, I was like, man, I don't want to like, you know, I don't know. I just, I thought about sending you the text for like 2 or 3 days before I actually sent it. And then I did. And I was like, oh, he,
fuck
you
yeah.
know, it was like that thing we talked about a while ago where it's like you dread having this whole, like this conversation, or you're like afraid to talk to the girl or whatever it is. And then you finally like, it goes way better than you
could have ever expected.
Yeah. And it was kind of that for me, but I mean, that's kind of why we started to do it. And I was like, well, you know, I needed to keep up with the social media content, so it would be there and it would just be a whole nother avenue. And I just enjoy the art. I consume a shitload of podcasts, so I figured this would just be, you know, another avenue. It's now I like, while I'm like watching podcasts on YouTube and listening to podcasts, I'm paying attention to so much more shit now. Like I just things that people say, and I'm like, I'm really like kind of studying like the guys that I really admire, and like, you know, who I'd like to sound more like him, you know, like the way that he articulates his thoughts and, you know, how he just communicates with people, like guys like, I mean, you know, Rogan and Chris Williamson, I would say are the two big ones for me. You're listening to Modern Wisdom. I think I've sent you a couple.
You've sent
of
me a couple of them.
I'm a big fan of him. He's a great interviewer, man. He just, and like cinematically, like if you look at the videos on YouTube, like probably, I think that's like one of the things he goes for is like making the most like beautiful podcasts, like they like rent out space. Like I think he just posted something that was like, you know, I've got four podcasts set up for this week and it's going to cost more than what I put for a down payment on my first, on my current house. I hope it turns out good and looks as good as I hope it will. But if not, oh well. You know, or he said something like that. And, but yeah, it's just all his whole thing is like making it like cinematically pretty. But yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to start a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the same reasons. I had been talking to my business coach for a couple of years about it and just kind of brainstorm ideas every once in a while. Yep, Anthony. And just, it always just kept getting put to the back burner. And just, you know, what would I want to talk about? I mean, granted, I can talk to a fucking wall if you put me in a room. So I knew the whole talking side of it. I knew having those conversations. It was just we had that meeting at Omen, and like when you text me, like I said, I was all for it. Like I was pumped.
Right in, right away.
We didn't have a fucking clue what we were going to talk about, but I knew that whatever it was going to be fun, and there, you know, we were going to be able to do and speak on things that we related to. It was just figuring out what that avenue was, and then once we met, the three of us met at Omen that day, and Murph was asking us those questions. Like you said, it was easy. Like, what do we have in common? Mm-hmm. Both dads, both athletes, both successful business people, entrepreneur for you, sales for me, obviously real estate, because that's what we do. And then, you know, like our hobbies and the mentality that, you know, that we had to put forward to be here. So it was, once we narrowed it down and we got to it, we're like, this is going to be fucking great. It's just all things that are easy for us to communicate and talk about. But yeah, it was something I wanted to do for a while. Same stuff, like the social media aspect of it and being able to create content, and which just leads, I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, people, you might not think so, but lends credibility to what we do.
100%.
Dude. You know, it shows a different side of us that people aren't really seeing. You know, you try and be professional during the day. Obviously it's, you know, I try to be myself as much as possible when I'm communicating with all people. Obviously I'm not going to work with everybody. I get that. But I try to be as authentic to myself as I can. And so I hope that comes through on this. Obviously I don't think we're able to put out this many episodes, right?
Can't
fake this many episodes, you know? So, I mean, I hope, like I said, people are getting to see a different side of us, hopefully learn something from us. Whether, you know, take something from us. I mean, we're just regular guys with same problems as everybody else has. I just, we're more open to talk about it.
Yeah.
And being willing to do that. So, yeah, it's been something I wanted to do. I would love it. I look forward to it every week. This is by far my favorite day of the week.
Me too.
I'm glad we do it on this day too, because it's like right in the middle of the week.
Right in the middle of the week.
Give us something to look forward to and kind of ride into the weekend, because, I mean, that's when we start talking about the next week and start planning and all that, and everything's just like a build up to Wednesday, and then it's like we do it and it's great. And then, like you said, sitting down, being able to chat with you and Murph, you know, getting to know him over, I've met him a few times prior to us doing this, but really getting to know him and understand and all that stuff, And everything that he does for us, like, it's awesome. Murph, shout out. Sad you're not here today.
Yeah, this is our first one we've ever shot. We were the ones who set up the cameras and stuff by ourselves. So hoping this all records and works out all right. So,
Murph, you're never allowed to leave again.
Yeah. So that's why we want to start a pod. This is that podcast I was telling you about. See how like cinematically pretty it is.
Yeah. It looks great.
Like
his voice is like,
he's got like a great, like, you know, he's got that British accent and he just like, you could like listen to him for a while I do listen to him a lot. And this honestly kind of goes in to the next question we got here is, where do you guys see the show in a year or two? One thing for me is like, I would love to like, maybe not to this level, but like get it to look, maybe get the studio to look a little bit more cinematically pretty like this at some point. We've talked about, eventually, currently we have the studio set up in a bedroom of my house.
Right.
You know, I would love to eventually, not that I don't like us doing it here, but I think it would just be a little bit more convenient if it was we had like a place that we leased. Cause like right now we're just kind of limited as far as time. And, I've got a 2-year-old son, I'm about to have a brand new baby. Like it's going to be a little bit
tricky
sometimes. So, kind of working around our schedule there, which is fine. Cause we usually record, during the weekday, like during the work day. And, at that point, the babies aren't going to be here. So, but eventually getting to a spot where, we can all meet up. It's not, we just rent the studio out. Cause at that point, and that kind of goes into another thing is I would love to, get to the point where it's financially
right,
making us money.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I would love if this could be like another source of income for us eventually. That's not like my main goal or my reason to do it, but like now that we're kind of doing it, I'm like, that would be kind of cool if this could just be another stream of income. So I know that's, ways away for us, getting sponsors. Cause I know that's going to come from sponsors and stuff like that. And, at this point we're not in a bargaining position. We do have a nice little partnership with our friends at NeuroGum.
Yeah.
And that's keeping us caffeinated and focused and energized throughout our show. So big thanks to NeuroGum. Mm-hmm. But eventually getting some sponsors that, because currently the podcast costs us money. So I would love to get to a point where it's making us money. So that's something, hopefully making us money. Maybe get a spot that we're renting out that, we could kind of really blank canvas, really do it like how we'd want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. And then, we could do it at whenever we wanted, hey, we've got a buddy in town, or hey, we've talked about doing, some sort of like fight companion thing where we're watching watching an event live and we're, commentating on it or something like that. Like, I would love to get to that, doing stuff like that eventually. But I'm just really looking forward to just keep doing it, interviewing some interesting guests and just having fun with it, man. Cause I'm having fun.
Yeah. The same. It's, where do I want to see it? Sure. I would love to see it making money. I would love to see it in a space that we have, but there's plenty of spaces in St. Louis where we could go and do it, but we can't personalize it like we have it here. So I would, like you said, I would like to have our own space.
It's got
to
be the right space. Right. Like, it's got to completely make sense.
Exactly. To where it makes sense for us to, that we can make it our own, mm-hmm. and not have just like you see some of these podcast space around St. Louis. They're nice, but they're just very generic.
Generic, the sound things on the wall.
Right. Like, we've got our pictures.
I want you to come in the room and it feels like it's like, all right, you're walking into a little bit of us, this is our vibe, and it's just, it's nothing fancy in here. We just have the shit that we like hung up on the walls.
I love it. I love our little spot here. It's great, but I would see us having our own studio set up. I obviously get some more sponsors, continue to build, following in this, that people that enjoy listening to us talk, and relate to the things that we say. I want to continue to do that. But like you said, the most important thing is having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to continue to have fun with this. I want to continue to look forward to this day every week. As soon as I start feeling like it's becoming a chore, that's when I'm going to be like, all right, I think we need to take a break from this just because this is fun.
Yeah.
As soon as it becomes not fun, it takes the heart out of it. It takes the fun away from it. And it's just not something that I think it puts out a good product if we're not doing it to our best of our abilities. So yeah, continue to have fun. I love all of our guests.
Yeah, you know,
I would love, you know,
really cool.
Yeah.
Like the one that's going to come out tomorrow, which will come out Thursday next week, was a great episode with, you know, two guys that, you know, we neither of us knew prior. Yeah. And they were, man, those two guys were awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited for them. And it gives me hope for the younger generation.
100%.
Dude. Like, those guys were...
Shout out,
guys.
Yeah. Dude, you guys are awesome, man. Nico and Juan, you guys are great, man. You guys are awesome guests. So we'll look forward to have you back on the show in a little bit, man.
Absolutely.
It was fun. You know, but you just... I had no idea what to expect with coming in, you know, with those guys coming in here, because we kind of had, like, a last-minute cancellation. And so Murph, you know, met them on another podcast that he does. And it was like, he just called them, and they're like, yeah, we'll come on. And they were just, they're interesting and fun and great guys. So shout out to them.
Absolutely. But yeah, continuing to build that guest list and get to that point where, like, people want to be on the show. Like, we've got a few people that have reached out and asked, but you know, most of our guests, you know, we're reaching out to them saying, like, hey, you know, we love what you do. We love and bringing them on the show. And I just, you know, want to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger with the people that we have on. And again, what's cool is, like, the people that we've had on are all people that are very successful that are going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And it'll be fun to bring them back on and, like, be able to look back, like, a year from now and be like, hey, remember, this was our first episode that we did with you. Where are you at then? This is where you're at now. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm excited for stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and having people on and like, oh, the last time you're here, you said your goal was to get here, and you know,
did,
like,
you do it?
Did you do no. that? You
why
know,
the like, fuck not?
No, why not? Oh shit, you did. You know, like, it'll be sweet. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Let's go to the next question.
Aliens.
Okay, I do the alien one. All right, yeah, let's do it.
Let's mix it up. Let's do something else here. Yeah.
What do you think about aliens, Pat? That was our question.
I mean, this there's so much unexplored space. There has to be. I mean, in the shit that you see, like UFOs, all that stuff, you're telling, like, there has to be some other living.
Oh, 100%. There's no way there's not.
Yeah, it's insane if there's not.
But we're
not. We are not the smartest people.
Yeah.
In this universe, there are way smarter beings out there than what we are.
Oh, for sure. And man, there's so many. I could go down so many paths here. But yes, I believe in aliens.
Yes.
I think that there are. You know, they're out there. I do think that they have visited us. I think that we. You know, I mean, there's a lot of evidence out there, but the thing that the big red flag for me is, I think it was 2018 when that NBC article or whatever it was, CNN article came out. That's where my, like, kind of red flag goes off for me, is like when the government and stuff, like, starts coming out and saying, hey, we've got, you know, the aliens are here, you know, right. Like, I can't remember what the exact article was, but when that came out, that's what got me a little, like, skeptical. I was like, okay, well, now, obviously, they've been involved with this since
for a long time.
Like, why are they coming out with it now?
Yeah,
what's happening? That's where my, like, kind of bullshit meter starts kind of going off a little bit. But you know, there's a lot of evidence out there. I mean, that's the thing, is it's never like clear cut. But there's a lot of pilots and, you know, that have reported seeing, you know, there's several different ships or UAPs, as they call them, unidentified alien phenomenon. Because they switched it from UFO to UAP. But like the Tic Tac one that Captain David Fravor saw, that went from 50,000 feet to a foot above sea level in less than a second. Yeah, and then there's, I listened to one a while back with that Bill Walton guy that supposedly was abducted. Like, there's just so many. There's so many stories out there that it's just hard not to believe. Like, I really believe it is when you get these, like, really credible people, like these military pilots. It's like, why would they fucking be making this up? You know, and you know, it's the videos that I get skeptical on is like the ones where, like, the recent ones, like in Florida with, like, the, have you seen those where they're like the big tall, like, beings that, and they're all shitty videos, and people, nobody ever catches that stuff on an iPhone.
Right.
So that's the one part that gets me a little, like, skeptical, but then I'm like, okay, well, maybe they have some way to, like, if you're
fuck up with the cameras,
fuck up your, like, some sort of electromagnetic pulse or something like that, that would, like, affect people from getting, like, a good shot on it. I don't know. But I can imagine, like, if you're up in a plane and you're flying at however many feet per second and you're pulling out your phone to try to take a picture of it, it's going to look like shit. And it's like you're looking at like a dot and surrounded by a bunch of clouds. So it's like, you know, I don't know if that's going to be, you know, it's never going to look great, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, I believe in aliens. I think that they have definitely visited us. But, man, like, I don't know.
It's a tough topic because there's proof, but there's not really proof. I don't know. I want to believe
it so bad.
I do too. I believe in aliens. It's hard for me to think that with how big the universe is, plus the galaxy and all of those things, like there's so much more that we haven't got to that you're telling me that there's no other form of being living creatures or beings elsewhere out there.
Well, one of my favorite theories is the fact is that these, you know, so they, a lot of them are that people see, claim to see are like gray men, big head, slender body, no genitals, right? So there's a theory out there that these are humans from the future coming back in time to like visit or like to see the past and see what they used to be. Cause it's like, if you think about how we are evolving, you know, we look at chimps, we look at us, like we're clearly moving toward that, like slender, no muscle, like, you know, why do we need these like
keep
big
drinking
bodies?
Them soy boys.
Yeah. The soy boys out there don't want to pick up any weights. Yeah. You know, but like, you know, that head gets larger because we're consuming more information or whatever, and we don't need strength or muscle anymore, so we get slender. And now
you got AI, you got the Neuralink that Elon Musk's wanting to put in our heads.
Yeah, it's just like we're turning into cyborg. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, but I mean, we are kind of turning into robots. The fact that we have these things everywhere we go. I mean, we're partially integrated with technology as it is. I mean, people say that. I mean, when it's Neuralink, it's just going to be, you're not going to have to carry that thing around.
Right.
You know, but just when...
pull your thing.
Yeah, you hold your hand up to your face or whatever it is. But, I mean, really, what's, you know, what Elon Musk had said that freaked me out is that you're going to be able to communicate without words. So that's like,
do I really want people know what I'm thinking?
100%, right. Dude. Because it's like... Like, if somebody's just...
fucking asshole.
Yeah, like, every time someone walks... It's, you know, we're all going to really be... I don't know how that's going to work, obviously, but... I mean, there's a lot of positive things to it too. Like, you know, they say that, like, there's already been, they've already been able to like have people that are like paraplegic, or when you're paralyzed from the neck down, whatever that is, paraplegic. But they've been able to like move cursors like with their brain, like move a mouse cursor with their brain. So like that right there is like that's a big step. You know, and
well,
like,
and you got to think too, like people, like, so I have a neighbor who's nonverbal autistic. Like, I'm sure, you know, getting something like that implanted would be a lot, you know, able to allow him to speak.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, that's Gina's, like, most of her classes, you know, kids that are nonverbal and they, you know, communicate on an iPad or, yeah, I mean, just to be able to articulate or just be able to, because, you know, you just can't understand what they're wanting to get out or what, you know, they just don't have a good way of communicating it to you. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, so it's that and people that have like lost limbs and stuff like that, that, you know, they can recreate an arm or something that they can like control with their brain. Like that's a whole nother aspect to it too. But, you know, it's really when the average Joe just gets it, like you go pick up an iPhone, like that's when things are really going to change because, you know, for a period of time, there's going to be like the people that have it and then the people that haven't. And there's going to be a big separation there because the people that have it are going to have all this constant, you know, flow of information. They're going to have all these, they're going to be
just a fucking phone in your brain.
So it's like, they're going to have Google all these advantages over all the people that aren't. So who knows, like if there's a big delay there for like the people, you know, let's just say it's the rich people that can afford to put a Neuralink in. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of the first guinea pigs to get that thing put in my head.
I feel like it'd be like a Hunger Games type scenario with the capital people.
For real, 100%. Yeah. No, it'll be the people with the Neuralink and then everybody else, all the peasants, you know, and it's kind of freaky when you think about it like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I want to get into a next question. We can do one more and biggest problem in the world today? And that's Murph's question. So let's answer that. What do I think the biggest problem is? Oh man. Like, I mean, we could go kind of like a lot of different avenues of this.
So
like, is it like, all right, is poverty the biggest problem in the world? Is like our divisiveness between like the people that everybody online that like fucking seems to hate each other. But then I don't know, man, in my experience, like, yeah, we see a lot of people upset with each other online, but like in real life, I don't experience much of that every once in a while. But
technology, like, so would you just classify that as technology is the biggest problem because it's causing people to be so divisive? So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, but I mean, it's also like, there's a lot of pros and cons of technology too. Cause like, I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time getting anywhere without my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have GPS.
Right.
So, I mean, there's clearly a lot of positives and negatives to it, but, yeah.
I mean, and call me ignorant. I know what's going on in my own backyard and what I focus on in my life. So like things that I donate to, charities that I donate to, are usually veteran organizations or things that are to help children. Seeing sick kids in the hospital fucking kills me, man. Like, so innocent. You can't, like, when my kids are sick, like, it tears me up. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. And they're just, yeah, that for me. And then like veterans, like, I'll do anything for a veteran. One of our Dogs for Our Brave is a good local one where they rescue dogs, train them to be service animals for veterans.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's awesome. They're a great organization. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of different ones. Like, there's one in downtown that's building a tiny home community for our veterans local that are homeless. And basically these homeless veterans can go in and apply to see if they're qualified, but they help them get back on their feet. They provide jobs within the community and they provide mental services for them and then a home for them to live in and to help them get back on their feet, which is awesome. So things like that, like here locally, like that's what I would say locally for me are some of our biggest issues. Globally, there's just so much fucking shit going on out there that it's hard. It's hard to pick one. Like, sure, world hunger. Sure. Would love to be able to cure that. Yeah, you know,
to be honest, I think we're at a point in life where I feel like there's more fat people than people that can't
right.
eat.
Right.
At least here in the United States
for sure.
But it's just fucked up. But
are we on a beauty pageant?
World peace.
Yeah, world peace. There's a patch of trash the size of Texas in the ocean. Did you know that?
It's like
where all these currents meet.
Huh.
And there's like a mess of trash, like all this trash is accumulated in the ocean somewhere, and apparently like it's the size of Texas. So you know how big Texas
right.
is. Well, you know, would, but like yeah, look how mean, big the ocean is. Like
right.
It, you know, but it still doesn't seem huge.
Right. I would think like, hey, if it's that fucking big and it's condensed into one space, yeah. let's
like run a fucking giant strain. Well, there was a guy.
Let's create a.
He was doing
water
this,
vacuum or something.
Yeah, it was essentially like a vacuum. And I don't. I watched him on a podcast, and then I never like heard anything else. So who knows if it's still even going on? But he was doing something where he was collecting the trash and then like making shit out of it, like making sunglasses and like flip flops and like shit like that, and then like selling them to like. Fund it
right
and I mean that I don't know if that's my first thing, but that's just something that I thought of that I'm like, oh, that's a problem, you
right.
know, pollution,
mental health is a big one,
mental health for sure. That's the new thing we're teaching Calvin. I was all kind of off topic, but we're sort of talking about it. We're trying to anytime we see someone throwing trash on the ground, we're trying to get him to losers put that there, Calvin. So that whatever
right.
So we don't want to be losers. We don't throw trash on the ground.
Right.
You know, we're not a loser.
Or put your cart back at the grocery store.
Same shit. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like that same. Oh, bro. I did it the other day. This was probably about a month, a little more than a month ago now. But I watched this dude like, he went and put his like cart, like popped a wheelie and put it on the curb and then walked into his car because he didn't want to walk all the way over to the corral. And so I walked over. I like set my cart like directly behind
his car,
went and got his cart, wheeled it all the way over to the thing, and then went and got my cart. And he just like stared at me the whole time. And I just like looked at him. And yeah, but it's like one of those things that fucking irritates the fuck out of me. It's like the easiest thing in the world to do.
Lazy.
Like,
there you go. Biggest problem. Laziness.
Yeah. Well, equality, you know, this is kind of where I was going with this when I first read the question. I was like, oh, that could be kind of a good thing to bring up, but like, I don't know how, I mean, I guess it does apply, but you know, everybody wants like equal outcome, right? You know, everybody wants, you know, equality, but you know, nothing's ever going to be equal. You know, because there's not,
what's the fucking point of sports or business or anything? Like nothing's equal. No, sorry.
You know, we all have different, you know, I talked about this on another podcast, but you know, we all have different starting points and right. Like, you know, there's some people that are, you know, definitely dealt a shitty hand of cards and, you know, and they're able to make something out of it. And then there's a lot more that don't. And, you know, if you were dealt a shitty hand of cards, like, that fucking sucks. And, like, how do we get less of that? How do we get, you know, if you really want to make America great again or whatever, like, you don't, how do we do that? We have less losers. You know, we have less people that are not, you know, contributing anything to society.
Like, where do we go from there? How do we get to that point the question.
I think it could be with a lot of the money that we send overseas. I think that we could put that into our own neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
You know, redevelop those areas, you know, give people opportunity, you know, and, you know, make these schools in these poor areas better, you know, give these kids more opportunities, give them, you know, scholarships, give them more extracurricular activities so they're not like out on the street doing whatever. You know, cause I know that was huge, is like getting into things. Like, I mean, when I got into football and wrestling, like you're just too tired to do, you know, to go out and do all this shitty stuff that you're not supposed to be doing.
When you learn a level of pride, you learn to take pride in what it is that you're doing and wanting to get better, especially as you're doing it and getting better. It makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you that sense of pride. Like, I want to continue to get better. I continue. Like, that was my biggest thing, was like, I mean, I was gifted with the ability to throw baseball hard, like from a young age. I always just threw the ball hard, but didn't always know where the hell it was going. Didn't really start figuring that out until, I mean, I was in pitching lessons at 10 years old, but I really didn't start figuring out how to throw strikes until I got to high school. I just went out there and threw the ball as hard as I fucking could and would get lucky. Hopefully somebody would swing and miss or go over the plate. Like, I don't know. It was like strikeout to walk ratio. I was like, fuck.
You're just the scary guy that can throw it hard because you don't want to get hit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but then, you know, figuring out, like, then you just keep developing and get better and better. And I was like, and I just became obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that extracurriculars can do for kids and help is, one, if they're with the right people, it's a really good mentor, someone for them to look up to, someone for them to push them to be better. But then it develops that sense of pride in them to want to be better. So yeah, I think I agree. I think there's a lot of youth out there that are being left behind because of things like that.
Yeah. Guys, we appreciate you guys listening. If you got anything out of the show, tell a friend. That's how the show grows. So tell a friend, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Tell us what you thought of the show in the comments below and hit that like button, and we will see you on Thursday with a guest.
Yeah.